Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
Amen. Have we got any big kids here this morning? Any big kids? Yep, kids young and old. You can still be a kid in your 80s. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's fantastic. It's great to be with you this morning. It's great to have you in church. For those of you who are new here this morning, it's great to have you with us. I'm excited to be in church every Sunday. And if I seem a little loud to you, we're going to fix that in a moment. anyone ever been to the footy? Or have you been to the Olympics? I've been to the Olympics or the Commonwealth Games. And people get excited when they go to sporting matches. But we come to church and we celebrate the God of all creation who knows us and loves us. And I reckon that's worth getting excited about. I don't know about you. Three of you that do. Look, before I get into the message this morning, I thought I might as well just go there because some of you probably got good eyesight and can tell that there's something not quite right with Coxie's head today. Others of you are going, what is he talking about? I had a little bit of chop me up stuff going on through the week. For those who don't know, I had a melanoma last year and had a bit of treatment and stuff around that. And I had a bit of plastic surgery on my ear this week. They decided to chop me up some more and take off some more not so bad cancer stuff, BCC things, for those who know what's what. And then I had another one off the ear. I was having dinner that night. We had gnocchi and I'm like, oh, it looks a bit like what? Okay, anyway, too graphic. look, I just want to say, if you haven't had a skin check, it's a wise thing to do. Book in for a skin check, ring up the skin clinic and say, hey, check me out. There's some wisdom in these things. Amen? Amen. Amen. And in fact, next week, I think I'll probably have a bit of a bandage over my nose. I think I've got another six appointments in 2 weeks. It kind of takes up your time. The process is ongoing, but praise God that I haven't found any more bad stuff. So that's good. And, you know, we're singing about the powerful name of Jesus, and He is a healing God. And I still say that the doctors were amazed when the cancer last year hadn't got into my lymph system. They were really amazed by that. And I thank God for His healing. I knew at that stage that there was some other stuff to get cut off, and I've still got some more. But God is good, and He is powerful. He is a healing God. I broke my back. He healed that. I had glandular fever. He healed that. I've seen people with broken knees and different parts of their body be healed, and God is a healing God. But at the same time, I'm very grateful for our medical expertise in this world too. I had a day a couple of weeks ago where I was starting to get a little bit, oh, stupid appointments, what have I done? Anyone have a day like that? Yeah. Well, I thank God for Justin and Alyssa who were here to get married, which was awesome. But also, sharing about what they were doing with Mercy Ships. And I've got to say, as they talked about the treatment they were giving people in Africa that they should have had 5 or 10 years ago, I'm thinking, thank you, God, for all the appointments that I've had, for all the amazing injections and chop-me-up stuff they've done. It's fantastic. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Anyway, I don't have to tell you all after church what it is now. Today we are beginning a brand new series. It's the end of the school holidays and we're starting a new series. But before we jump into that, before I introduce our theme for this series, I want to ask you the question, what do you believe? If you had to write down a statement of faith, if you had to write down everything that you believe, the core things of your life and the deepest beliefs of your heart, I wonder what you would write down. Should have given you all a bit of paper and said, here, write down 5 things. You can do that if you want. Actually, here's a challenge, kids, this morning, because I want to talk to you guys as well as your parents and the older people in the room. I want to encourage you to try and write down 4 points that I say this morning and see if you can get 4. There's a challenge. But if you had to write down a statement of belief, what would it be? What would it say? I think it's good to realize that there is a big difference between the things that we know and the things that we believe. You can know that Brussels sprouts are good for you, but you may not believe it. You know, you know it's true, but if you really believe it, if you know that broccoli is good for you, but if you believe it, you'll actually eat it. Kids, adults. You can know that exercise is good for you, but it's actually about believing it that you will actually do exercise. Because you can know it's all true, it's all good, and yeah, everyone should exercise, but I don't really need to. I'm okay. I'm not that unhealthy. Like, anyone ever? No. You can know things, but there's a difference between things that we know and things that we actually believe. Because things we believe, we take action about. This morning I want to read from a book of the Bible that we probably don't read that often. It's not a book that I hear quoted very often. And I just want to read, I'd love to actually read the whole chapter with you, and I encourage you to through the week. Now I'm taking my notes out for later, whoops. The book of Jude is just before Revelation. I encourage you to have a read through the whole letter. It's only one chapter. But this morning I want to read from verse 1 to 8. Actually, as we think about what we believe in our statement of faith personally, I encourage you, if you haven't ever looked at it, we've got some copies up the back there of the CRC charter, and in there is a whole section on our declaration of faith and what we believe, what are the core things of our faith that we want to uphold. There's some of them on the back table if you want to grab it. But Jude chapter 1 and verse 1 to 8 says this. This letter is from Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ. Now that word slave is talking about being a bondservant of Christ, which basically means he has made himself a slave because he so loves his Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not because Jesus came and said, you've got to be my slave and do everything I told you to do. He said, no, I'm making myself a slave of Jesus because I so love my Savior, Jesus. A slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. I am writing to all who have been called by God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Jesus Christ. Who's he writing to? The church, those who trust in Jesus. May God give you more and more mercy, peace, and love. Who'd like a little bit more mercy, peace, and love in their life? Fantastic, he's writing to you. Dear friends, I had been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So I want to remind you, though you already know these things, that Jesus first rescued the nation of Israel from Egypt, but later he destroyed those who did not remain faithful. And I remind you of the angels who did not stay within the limits of authority God gave them, but left the place where they belonged. God has kept them securely chained in prisons of darkness, waiting for the great day of judgment. And do not forget Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. Those cities were destroyed by fire and serve as a warning of the eternal fire of God's judgment. In the same way, these people who claim authority from their dreams live immoral lives, defy authority, and scoff at supernatural beings. And he goes on talking about all these different teachings that have come up, and they're being swayed by this teaching and that teaching and this other thing. But you know, throughout history, the same ideas, the same philosophies come and they go and they come and they go, and these false teachings about God and who Jesus is, they rise up for a time, and then there's this swing against them, and these other ideas come and they go. And I tell you what, we should all study church history. I mean that. We should study and learn from church history and see the things, the ideas and the lies that have come about Jesus, about the gospel, about who God is, because things come and go. Has anyone noticed that through life? Ideas come and they go and they come and they go. Right after Jesus' death and resurrection, there were some people that started arguing, there's no way Jesus actually died. He couldn't have died because we saw him alive. There is no way this guy could have died because we saw him walking around. He's alive. And other people are saying, But he can't be alive because we saw him die. There is no way Jesus could have survived the crucifixion. We saw it happen. There is no chance this guy is alive. And it's kind of sad that the two could not believe the other's testimony, because he did die and he did come alive again. He actually did what he said he was going to do. And those lies, those ideas have come and gone through the centuries, through the ages. There's still people that say, oh, maybe Jesus never actually died and that's why he was still alive. And others say, but oh, maybe it was a spiritual rising again, that he didn't actually come alive again physically. And these ideas, and they come and they go. But here is the truth. We must know what we believe. You need to know what you believe. We live in a season and a time when Christian faith is being squashed. It is being pushed aside, or is being argued against and said, you don't need to believe those things. You guys have this faith, but those things shouldn't count today in our age that we live in. We live in an age where there is a hostility to Christianity like we haven't known in recent years. We need to know what we believe. So today and over the next 8 weeks, we're going to be looking at the Apostles' Creed. And some of you are going, cool, what's that? Never heard of it. Others of you who maybe grew up in other churches, maybe you learnt to recite this every single Sunday. Maybe you had to learn it off by heart before you could be baptized. I love that prayer you prayed, by the way, man. I reckon we should all learn that one too. Maybe you are really familiar with the Apostles' Creed. Maybe it's a totally foreign and new thing for you. Or maybe you were a part of a church that recited it every week and you've moved on and you're here now and you're kind of like, oh, wow, I'll never have to say that creed again. Well, guess what? You're going to say it over the next 8 weeks, if I can encourage you to. Maybe even you're one who resonates with a saying, because there are some who would say, we have no creed but the Bible. But I would humbly suggest that although the Bible is our only authority, the Bible is the foundation of our faith, and we cannot come up with new ideas and stay true to the gospel if we don't believe what the Bible says. The Bible is our only authority. But can I suggest that I think it's slightly foolish to say we can't summarize our faith into some core statements of belief? I think it's actually important that we can summarize our faith into some core beliefs of the Christian message. J.I. Packer, who many of you might know, said the Apostles' Creed is like a PowerPoint declaration of our Christian faith. Albert Mohler, I never know how to say his last name, I think this one's on the screen, says all Christians believe more. All Christians believe more than is contained in the Apostles' Creed, but none can believe less. If we do not believe what is stated in the Apostles' Creed, we probably could fairly say that we are not staying true to the biblical version of Christianity, that we have left the teaching of Jesus and come up with our own new philosophy. Other people have said that just like the moon has no light, but it reflects the light of the sun, the Apostles' Creed has no power in itself. It is not the Word of God, it is not the Bible, but it reflects the Word of God to us. It helps us see the truth of the gospel, of the Word of God. In a world where there is so much hostility, and actually hearing some interesting research recently about those who are hostile to the Christian faith in our society today, it was quite interesting that studies were showing that those in their 50s into their 60s and 70s are largely those who are hostile to the Christian message. It's not those in their 20s and 30s and 40s in the majority. It's those in their 50s and 60s who grew up with some connection to church, who no longer attend church, and who are now angry about things that they heard or were taught or experienced while they were in churches as young people. And it's those people who are in positions of power in government, in media, in positions of policy making, they are the ones that are actually so hostile to the Christian message right now. And the research was showing that those in their 30s and 40s, and especially those in their 20s and younger, so many of those people have no idea what the Christian message is about. The research said that they said, actually, we have no clue who Jesus was and what he said, what he taught, what the message of the church is. And they are actually quite open to spiritual things. They are hungry for spiritual things. If you look at our world today, there are many different spiritual avenues that people go down because they are hungry for something spiritual. And when they have opportunity to actually ask about what the teaching of Jesus is, many of them are actually very interested because they have no idea who this Jesus guy was and what he taught. And you might have heard this, that people say sometimes we live in a post-Christian world. Well, I don't know if you've seen that. I haven't seen it actually, the Jesus Revolution movie. I've heard a few people talking recently about how the things that were happening in the world around that time and the openness that came with the gospel, that we are moving into a season very similar to that, where there is an absolute hunger for spiritual things. And we don't live in a post-Christian world, we live in a pre-Christian world. I find that quite exciting because there is a hunger. And I just see a whole generation that is growing up that have no clue what the message of Jesus is, and they are just looking for someone to tell them. And when they do, it'll be like a match to a helium balloon. I don't know, it'll be like, in a good way. Woo! But church, we must know what we believe. We must know what unites us as believers in Christ. This Apostles' Creed isn't something that we're just coming up with as a church today. It's not something I've written. This is something that was put together in the early second or third century. There's some that would say it was the second century, some that say third century. And it was a statement of belief saying these are the things that we hold to as the church. These are the things that unite us no matter what. And some thought it was maybe put together by the apostles themselves. That's probably not true, but it was a summary of what the apostles taught. And this morning, instead of getting you to read it and reading it together, I thought, actually, let's just watch a little video clip that shares the Apostles' Creed with us. And I've got to admit, before we play this little video, there's some lines in it that you might go, huh? I don't know about that bit. And there's some parts of it that you might be slightly confused about. There might be some parts of it that you have some questions about, and I just want to say that's okay. Over the next 8 weeks, we're going to explore these things. We're going to talk about what they're actually saying. There's some difference in the way we express language now as to what they did in the second and third century. Anyone surprised by that? So let's have a listen to this little video telling us the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended to heaven
and sits on the right hand of the Father Almighty,
from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Here we go. Over the next few weeks, we might actually say it together, but this morning I thought, well, you don't know what it says yet. I'm going to let you listen to it first. That little video was put together by the Village Church, and I just found their material a week or two ago and thought there's some great stuff there. And I've been kind of investigating and reading up on the Apostles' Creed and preparing this series over the last couple of months. But we've actually taken some of the stuff that they put together and put it together in some life group notes and devotional notes, which you can grab up the back there. But I'll point that out later. I love what Matt Chandler, the pastor of the Village Church, said about the Apostles' Creed. And there's four things he said that I thought I'd share with you. The Apostles' Creed helps us have symmetry. What do I mean by that? What does he mean by that? It's about having a balanced theology. Because as we read through the Apostles' Creed, it makes us think about aspects of our Christian faith that we may otherwise not think about. Does anyone have some little favorite theologies, favorite things you like to read about, favorite books of the Bible, or maybe some you prefer to read less? Maybe if I ask another question, has anyone here ever joined the gym? Anyone, come on, let's be honest. Anyone been to the gym for the first time saying, I'm going to join the gym. I'm going to get a program. I'm going to work out. I'm going to get fit and strong and stuff. Well, when you go to the gym, had to bring some props at school holidays. When you go to the gym, they don't just give you a little dumbbell and say, here, do this for an hour. Anyone ever tried? My brother once told me if I did 300 of these in a row, he would buy me a Nintendo 64. I think I went for 45 minutes. Then I nearly died. But when you go to the gym, they give you a program, and instead of just doing what do you call these, curls, they might say, okay, do some press-ups as well. And you know what? Actually, don't just do it on the right side. Do some on the left as well. And do some press-ups as well. And then you might do some lat pull-downs, like where you get the thing and you pull it down, you know, the lat pull-down. You might do some behind the head just to work out different muscles. And actually, when I used to go to the gym, when I was training as a cyclist, I was training as a cyclist to get my legs to be stronger. But my coach said to me, Andrew, I'm going to make you strong all over. You're not just going to be strong in the legs. You've got to be strong in your upper body. You're going to be strong in your core. You're going to be strong in your little finger. Man, he worked me. Anyway, I'd go and I'd warm up on the bike, and then I'd do some rowing to warm up some different muscles, and I'd do some stretching because, you know, when you work out, you can get stiff. And after I did some stretching, I'd go and do some squats. And then I was working on the legs for a while, and then you go over to the bench press and you do some arm work, and you move around the gym and you do all these different exercises because you don't just want to become strong in one area. Has anyone, this might sound critical, I'll say it anyway. Has anyone ever seen a guy and he's got the biggest biceps you've ever seen and these little toothpick legs? He didn't do leg day. I don't know, some people do one day, one the other day. But we want to be well-rounded people of faith. We don't just want to have one strong muscle. Because do you know what happens if we train and we produce a strength in one part of our body at the expense of all the others? We get twisted out of the way we're meant to be. We are actually injuring our body by not training the other muscles to keep ourselves in balance. As a cyclist, you're going to do your hammies and your quads. You've got to do your glutes and your core, and you've got to do everywhere to stay healthy. And as Christians, as we go through the Apostles' Creed, we're going to try and build a balanced faith, have a symmetry in our faith, that we're not just strong in one area of faith and forget about all the rest. We need a balanced faith. The Apostles' Creed helps us have symmetry. It helps us have clarity. To see God in a clearer way, to see who He is, to see what He has done in a clearer way, to understand who He says we are in a clearer way. It also helps us to know who we belong to, who our community is, who our brothers and sisters in Christ are, that we identify with and belong to. The Apostles' Creed helps us to know how to give counsel to ourselves and to one another as we read through the Apostles' Creed and have that symmetry in our faith, that balanced, clear picture of who God is and who He says we are. We can counsel ourselves and we can counsel one another. You know, the Apostles' Creed says, I believe He's coming to judge the living and the dead. So I'm not going to go out and just live a life of sin and indulgence because I believe in a God who reigns and rules and is coming to judge the living and the dead. And when I remember that, when I remind myself of that, I can give myself good counsel. And we need to have that clear, balanced faith that we can know who we belong to and give counsel to one another. Over the next 8 weeks, we've broken down the Apostles' Creed into 9 different parts. And this morning, I just want to look at the first part together. And really, this part of the Apostles' Creed is the foundation of our faith. The foundation of all the other aspects of the Apostles' Creed. And it says this, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I wonder if you'll say it with me. Can we say it together? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I just want to say too that just by repeating these things, it's not, they're not magical words. We don't repeat them and then become something different. It's just words to help us understand something. Point number one, Christian faith is about what you believe. The message of the gospel is that Jesus has done everything that needs to be done. Every other religion says, do this, do this, do this, and you will maybe enter eternity or whatever that religion's view of things is. But the message of Jesus, the message of the gospel of the Bible is that Jesus has done it all. Will you now put your trust in him? Will you come to him? Will you believe and follow him? Have a listen to what Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Now that is amazing, wonderful news. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Christian faith is about what you believe. It matters what you believe. You're not a Christian just because you come to church. You're not a Christian just because your parents were Christians. You're not a Christian because you do certain things. It's because you believe that Jesus is the Messiah and you've given your life to him. It matters what you believe. I can't help but say it, but you know, if you live in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. You go to church, doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you pray doesn't make you a Christian. It matters what you believe. And that's why we're looking at this series. Point number two, we believe in God. We believe in a God who is personal and loving. He's the God of the Bible. He's a God that wants to live in relationship with us. We aren't deists. We aren't people who believe in some mystical, supernatural force or power or energy that created the world and now stands at a distance waiting for it just to play out. That is not the message of the Bible. We believe in God. We believe in the personal, all-knowing God who cares about you. He knows what you ate for breakfast or if you skip breakfast. Lord, let it not be. We believe in God. Point number three. We believe in God, Father Almighty. Now, right there, we have a statement that helps us have a balanced faith, have a symmetry in our faith. Because some of us, we have no trouble believing in a loving, caring, merciful Father. God is a loving, caring, merciful Father. We have, and some of us have no trouble believing that. We kind of think God's just our buddy. He's our friend. He's so nice to me. But then other of us struggle to believe that because we feel like God is maybe a distant God. And for some of us here, you have no trouble believing that God is an almighty, powerful, magnificent God, and you kind of feel like he's the God of heaven and earth, and he's got his finger on you, and you kind of just feel like you're at his mercy, and he is the sovereign God that you can no possibly way ever be good enough for and have relationship with. But God is God our Father, and he is God Almighty. He is the good, good Father, and he is the all-powerful, all-knowing, always present God. There's a need for us to understand both sides are true. That he is our Father in heaven, but he is that we should live in holy fear and awe of God. Point number four, we believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You know, this God who knows you, who loves you, he spoke and planets came into being. He speaks and planets are made. He speaks and what he says comes to pass. He is the one who created all things. He sustains all things. He holds all creation together. And yet he cares about you and I. This is the God of the Bible. This is the God we serve. This is the God who came to save us through Jesus Christ. the one who created all things and loves us. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You know, I don't believe in myself. I don't believe in my ability to try and live some life that could earn God's forgiveness. I don't believe in my ability to do something which would make God be pleased with me. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I believe in Him and what He has done for me and for you. I was talking to someone just a few days ago, and they were sharing with me about when they came to Christ, how everything in their life seemed to change. Everything seemed to be transformed in a moment, that they gave their life to Jesus and their whole life was turned upside down. It was amazing, it was wonderful, and life kind of continued on like that for the next few weeks and the next couple of months even. And it was fantastic. Jesus had brought this new hope and peace into their life. But after a couple of months, this person said they kind of noticed that although Jesus had done so much in their life, they were still struggling with this thing and that thing. And I thought Jesus had fixed me, but I'm still having these thoughts and I'm still struggling with this thing. And to be honest, I think a lot of people come to Christ and then go through this struggle and some think, well, you know what? It didn't work. And they walk away. But we still struggle with sin in this world. And this person I was talking to was telling me about how they had this revelation about how the fact that we are body, soul, and spirit. I think we've got them on the screen. Body, soul, and spirit. We have a body that has physical needs. We need food. We need water. We need to wear sunscreen so we don't get too many skin cancers. And we need to have personal hygiene. We need to look after our physical bodies. But we also have a soul. We have a personality. We have thoughts and emotions and desires. And we also have a spirit. We have a part of us that is created in God's image. We are created in God's image, and we are people that will go on to live forever in one place or another. But the reality is we are born into a world of sin. We are born into a world where we have sinful desires and attitudes in this life. But Jesus came to set us free from that, to give us a new spirit with new and right desires. And that's when it was supposed to turn green. But anyway, that's okay. He's given us a new spirit so we might be led by the Holy Spirit, that we might know what God thinks about us, that we might have His thoughts, and we might let His Holy Spirit within us lead us and guide us and help us live lives that honor Him. But let's be honest, our mind still has wrong thoughts. Is it just me? We still have lies of the enemy come into our minds. We still struggle with temptation. We still struggle with thoughts and attitudes that are not godly. And as new creations in Christ, our spirits have been renewed, but we still struggle in our battle between the sinful nature and the new creation that we are in Christ. We come to Christ, we are made new. We are set free from the power of sin and death. The Spirit of God has come to live within us. But we continue to battle in our minds, and we need to submit and take every thought captive. Have a read of Romans 6 and 7 if you want to know any more about that. Have a listen to what it says in Ephesians 4. Let me just find it. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13. I'll ask the band to come as I read this. Ephesians 4 verse 11 says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." That is God's plan for you. That is God's plan for us, that we would grow and become mature in Christ, that we would be led by the Holy Spirit, that we would not be swayed to the left or the right by different ideas and teaching that come along, but that we would grow and become mature in Christ. That is His plan for you. So I want to ask you this morning as I come to a close, how are you growing right now? How are you growing in Christ right now? How are you going in Christ right now? You know, there's been seasons in my life where I feel like I've gone through stages of, you know, you look outside and the trees, they go dormant sometimes, and there's no growth, there just seems to be nothing happening. And maybe you're in a season where you feel like that just completely dormant tree that just looks almost a little bit like a dead stick. But I believe God wants to grow you and bring you into a new season of fruitfulness. And I want to encourage you to think about how can you, over the next 8 weeks, invite God to help you grow again. Maybe it's opening the Word of God. Maybe you've been training in prayer. You've been doing all the prayer. You've been praying. And God's saying, okay, pick up the other muscles, the other way. Do some training on this side. Open up the Bible. See what the Bible is wanting to say to you. See what God is wanting to say to you through His Word. Maybe you need to join a life group. Maybe you need to, actually in these devotionals that are up the back, it's got just a bit of a summary of what the Apostles' Creed is about, but then also it's got a life group study, and then in the back there's three personal studies for week one. There's going to be more of these booklets next week. I would encourage you to grab a copy of the booklet, or you can scan the QR code, or you can just go to our website and open it anywhere, anytime. Have we got the website on there? I don't think we have. You can have a look at the back wall there. It's got the thing on there. We'll put it on Facebook as well. The password, here's the secret part, is CFC, all uppercase. Can you remember that? CFC in capitals. And you can download that, and it doesn't matter where you are, you can open that up. Because I know half of these, you'll pick them up and you're like, yeah, I'll read that, and then you'll leave them on the seats. That's not criticism, I just know we're human, and that's what happens. I encourage you to think about what can you do this week to grow, to become more like Christ, to be mature in your faith and ready to explain the hope you have, because this world needs to know. Jesus is the hope of the world. He came to set the captives free, and He wants to use you. Can we stand as we pray right now, as we come to a close? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, we just thank you so much that you would call sinners like me, that you would call us to come and know you, God. We thank you, Jesus, for your people, your church, that we can be joined with as believers in Christ. And God, I just pray that through this series, you would help us to have a more balanced, more well-rounded symmetry in our faith. That God, you'd help us to grow in aspects of our faith that maybe we haven't thought about for many years even. God, I pray that you'd help us to see that we are part of the body of Christ, not just here in Colac, not just here in CFC, but around the world. People who have repeated this Apostles' Creed over hundreds of years, Lord God, and that we are part of your family, your people. And look, God, you would use us to help others know the hope that we have in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're going to sing this song that was written by Hillsong. John Dixon, some of you may know, challenged Hillsong to come up with a song to summarize the Apostles' Creed, and they came up with this song. We're going to sing it this morning. We might sing it again over the next few weeks. And let's sing it and really think about, is this what we believe? And if it is, let's sing it out as a prayer, as a statement of commitment to faith in Christ today. Thanks, guys.